Faithful God, we are in a more serious mood than ever before, and we want you to come to your right, that every word may come true, find confirmation, and every promise be fulfilled. Lord, come into our midst as the risen one, as the one to whom all power has been given in heaven and on earth. Faithful Lord, we are at your disposal. Show us the way we should go, and what you would have us do, this show us. You have been so merciful until now, and have led us on the right way for your name's sake. Lord, we have come to a point. We want to experience you in a sensible, audible, visible way. Faithful God, bless all those who have already come and those who are still on the way. Lord, be gracious to us, truly gracious, from the riches of your grace. Make yourself known to us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. I am very grateful to the Lord for these days. And my expectation is rising higher and higher. The longing is growing. We want that God comes to his right, that he can really reveal himself as he has left us here in the testimony of the Holy Scriptures. And we have heard it again and again in the sermons of Brother Branham, who was not only an example to us, but who was a man sent from God. We heard it over and again that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we got the confirmation on top of that, that it was not just words, not just a confession of the lips or a repetition of Hebrews 13, verse 8, but again and again a new confirmation. A new confirmation in the meetings where the word was preached, where the gospel was proclaimed. There was salvation, healing, deliverance, instruction, revelation of the word and the will of God. There was actually nothing lacking. It was an all-encompassing ministry that included every area shown to us in the Holy Scriptures. And the question we all have to ask ourselves is this: what did this mighty proclamation accomplish, trigger, and work in us? I have already said in previous years that it is one thing to place the prophetic ministry correctly, but it is another thing that we, as the church, allow ourselves to be divinely placed, that we take on the tasks that have been set for us and the responsibility that has been given to us, and thus facing God so that He can continue to work. It is impossible for us to be just satisfied with the preaching. The Word has left us promises, and our faith is anchored in them. We have a legitimate hope, indeed a right, that all that is written will be fulfilled. This morning's intimation, and I'm grateful to God that He still speaks and that He blesses, that He still makes so much effort with us. But the announcement that God still wants to do more and show us the way to experience this complete redemption in the practical impact in our lives. For me, the meetings behind us have already been a very great blessing. One can perhaps judge the blessing differently or call it a blessing, but we sense that God is up to something very special, and that the Spirit of God is pressing with power that biblical faith comes forth in us, which then also brings about biblical confirmation. How sublime it was every time when Brother Branham simply said, "If I have preached the word of the Lord, then God will confirm it." The Lord had given him the promise that He would be with him, that He would pray for kings and princes, and that nothing would withstand His prayer, not even cancer. This He heard in a loud voice from the mouth of the angel, and we can imagine what an absolute there was in the heart of this man of God. There was nothing and no one that could have held him back or hindered him. It was a commission given to him. He was destined for it, and God blessed him. Well, I may put it this way. We are the fruit of a divinely ordained, divinely given, divinely blessed ministry. We are, after all, the fruit of the divine sowing of the Word, of the divine promise for this time. Or am I not seeing this correctly? We have not become children of a denomination, but children of God. And the Word that was appointed for this time has come forth to be sowed, and it brings forth after its kind. And because this is so, we may expect the same things to come to pass. Yes, they have to come to pass. In the ministry of Brother Branham, there was always a spiritual conflict. I have three short sermons here in front of me, which I will talk about briefly today. Perhaps I will read some of them in the English and then into German. Before I do that, I want to read from Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 7. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers,
noch andere zu Hirten und Lehrern.
For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In this word, not only individual members, but all members of the body of Jesus Christ are addressed. Here it speaks of a being joined together, also of a spiritual growth, until we all come to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to the full measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, just as our Lord was born into this world, yet at first was wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in a manger, but then he grew and there was an unfolding to the point that all that was written of him was fulfilled. In the same way, If we have been born of God, we too must have spiritual growth. We must not wither. God wants to make sure that we are plants, trees planted by the riverside, and that we make progress in faith. I had indicated that Brother Branham spoke about demons stopping people, controlling them, not releasing them. And if we preach the gospel with all the power of God, and the result is not as it should be, then the fault is not with God, not in His Word, not in His blood, not in His Spirit. Then the fault must lie somewhere else. Then the enemy does not want to give up his right. Then he wants to continue to exert his influence, and that must not be. In the presence of God, we want to be subject to divine influence. And everything that wants to influence from the right or the left, we have to reject that and be under the divine influence. Here, in this sermon, he says, there are demons that enter into the soul of man. Let us now please keep things apart. There are demons that cause illness. Every illness that lives within comes from a demon. It is not the person who is being addressed here, but the thing, in this case the illness. Brother Branham also said this very clearly. Every sickness that has life in it, that spreads and eats, is a demon. He literally said that it is an alien life that is out to destroy our life and therefore cannot be of God. Because anything that comes from God will do handiwork and give help, but will not destroy. It says here, think, such a demon comes into the soul. It is something that torments the soul. We simply have to get real with ourselves now and ask ourselves if there is something that is tormenting us, or whether we have actually experienced the total freedom that was given to us through Calvary. It is written of our Lord and His ministry that He helped all who were overcome by the devil. Yes, His ministry was predominantly casting out devils and setting people free, and then salvation and healing was not far away. The moment the demons departed from the people, salvation and healing was a done deal from God. These people no longer had to wait for it. How many times has the Lord, when He met the blind or the mute or any such people, simply cast out the demon, and the mute was suddenly able to speak, or the blind to see. What was it? It was an authorized ministry, and the effects were a blessing to all. What was in the ministry of Brother Branham? He once literally said, you could anoint someone with oil all through the night. And if the demon is in that person, it is of no use at all unless the demon is cast out. Now, this may seem strange that suddenly, after all the meetings about the prophetic teaching, we are now suddenly entering into such a realm. But I suspect that the enemy does not like to let the people of God go out freely. And it is high time that we distinguish and recognize what is at stake. Imagine what is written here now. I have to read from English into the German, and it is not always so easy. I apologize for that. Often, you may see a mad person. It can be a converted person and filled with the Holy Spirit, but still completely insane. That's right. It has nothing to do with a soul. It is a tormentor. Something that torments these people. Now just visualize this. There is a converted person, even filled with the Holy Spirit, and he is in the lunatic asylum. But he doesn't belong there. He was not saved to be there, to be taken somewhere, but to blossom in the church of the living God. But the man is not to blame, or the woman, whoever it may be, but the blame falls on us who have not used the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ to loose the bound and set them free in the name of the Lord. It is an easy thing to break the baton, to pronounce judgment, but it is quite another thing to carry on the heart the individuals without any prejudice and say, Lord, can you use me that those concerned may be helped? Now come some very important passages, which I also want to read slowly. A sinner comes to the altar and says, Brother Branham, oh, I want you to pray for me. I want to do what is good. Will you pray for me? And he then goes back to his seat. The other evening, he comes again, when it is said, how many want to be saved? He also stands up again. It is a young man. He testifies that he wants to be saved. Yes, sir. He wants to be saved. But it is a devil that holds this boy. That's it. He wants to do the right thing. But there is a spirit, a force, that will not allow him to do the right thing. Are we all listening carefully? The young man we are now reading about is not raising his hand because he has no desire, but precisely because he wants to consecrate his life to God, he is raising his hand. One evening and in the next service, and if God doesn't help him, maybe the next, and if God doesn't help him for the rest of his life. But it must not be like that. A person who is addressed by the sermon and who wants to consecrate his life to God has the right that we come to his aid and deliver him in the name of the Lord. It is easy, I say it again, to pronounce judgment and say, he is not as he should be, or he does this and he does that. It would be better if we had heartfelt compassion and understood that basically every brother and every sister wants to do what is right and serve God from the heart. And yet there is something peculiar that does not allow them to serve the Lord in liberty. It then goes on to say, but, hallelujah, it will be different. No wonder God has always proved it. God has not only said, heal the sick. Christ did everything for us when he died for us. I cannot save anyone. Neither can any one of you save anyone. But God can. However, God cannot save you. He has already saved you. Here we are associated with the finished work of God. He goes on to say, the only thing you have to do is to accept it. It is provided. I wasn't saved 20 years ago. I was saved over 1,900 years ago. But I accepted my salvation about 20 years ago. We have talked about it. It is a finished work of God in Jesus Christ, our Lord, on the cross of Calvary. It goes on to say, if it were not so, God should have condemned or punished me and swept me away from the earth after I had committed the first sin. For God could not tolerate sin, but he gave the promise. I was also healed over 1,900 years ago, but have accepted it now. We have to understand that it is a finished work of God. And I have compared it to the work of creation from time to time. Do you know that God has not done anything at all to the creation since the creation? He completed all of creation on the seventh day and then sat down, and God rested from all that he had created. Since then, everything he has created runs in the divine harmony and order he has assigned to all creation. Of Jesus our Lord, we read, having conquered all things and having disarmed the powers and principalities, triumphing over them, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God and waits henceforth until all enemies are made his footstool. It is a finished work of redemption, and everything has been placed on the foundation of faith. As on the one hand, the Creator has arranged everything for all the creation, so the Redeemer has arranged everything for the redeemed. And if we, as the redeemed, allow ourselves to be inserted into this plan of redemption of our God, then you shall see how smoothly, how mightily, how gloriously the Redeemer can promote and bless his finished work through and in the redeemed. It is further written here, the only thing, and listen, a prophet of God says this, and if I'm not mistaken, he was the greatest that ever lived on earth. Hear what he says of himself. The only thing that kept me from being saved when I was 12 years old, there was a spirit that surrounded me. Did you all hear it? We are dealing not only with ourselves or with circumstances or with men of flesh and blood, but with the principalities and powers that rule in the air, but wish to execute their influence on earth. It goes on to say, wait a moment longer. That is the reason why you will not be saved before the age at which you will be called to account. Here seems to be this 12 year of age. I don't know exactly. It's given here very briefly. Maybe God doesn't hold the children accountable until then. I don't know either. But then here it goes on. A spirit. You are in a crowd. But then a spirit hangs over it, and it hangs over you, and you want to do the right thing, but you cannot. You have the mind, and you know what you want to do and what is right, and yet you cannot. That is a devil. Christ paid the price for our healing and for our redemption. All of us, as I have just tried to say, as children of God, have only one desire, to do what is pleasing to God, to be a blessing to others, not to be a hindrance to anyone, let alone an obstacle or a stumbling block. And yet, time and again, things happen that remain inexplicable to us. And we must always distinguish. It is not the brother or sister. It is the enemy who wants to hinder, who wants to stop, who wants to confuse. That is his main job, after all. And he knows his job very well. He has such a long experience in it. But precisely for that reason, it is important to distinguish. What is going on here now? Is it being built up? Is it being promoted? Is there a blessing on what is being done? You always have to ask yourself the question, who is motivating me? Who makes me to do this or that? And then, when we are real enough with ourselves, we estimate the costs, and not only that, but we ask ourselves the question, what has been created by what I have done? Has it helped people? Have they been brought closer to the Lord? Or have they been held back? The Spirit of God will always cause us to bless, not to stop one another, but to serve one another with the gift God has given us. There will be a spiritual building up, a progress, a growth in the body of the Lord. It will be seen. Now comes the reference to the Great Commission. Well, here it is. Get ready. He commanded his church to cast out devils. There you have it. In my name, they will cast out devils. You will not heal anyone, but you will cast out devils. And so people will be able to accept their healing, because it has already happened. That's right. Who is holding us back from being saved? Salvation has happened. What is holding us back from being healed? The healing is there. Even then, when hundreds of years passed before Christ our Lord died on the cross of Calvary. So, salvation and healing, full salvation and a complete redemption is here for us. The enemy of our soul and at the same time the enemy of God wants to keep us from getting close enough to God, that faith becomes the power of God. And then comes the influence. You won't make it. You've already tried a few times. And just look at the others. It won't work anyway. And then we give up. And the enemy has only whispered a little here and a little there. And God is grieved, because we have not given him perfect faith and honored him by faith and obedience and let the devil be a liar and consider God to be true and sided with him completely. We know the devil is a liar from the beginning. And if he wants to whisper to us, you are not going to make it, and this and that, then we know very well that he has lied. We don't need to make it anymore. It is finished. And we stand on the victory ground of Calvary and command every enemy, Satan and all the demons, to release us and leave us alone so that we can serve our God and experience spiritual growth by the grace of our God. Here we are told he commanded his church to cast out devils. To this day, this is a realm that we have not realized. And I'm not saying this now to put a special burden on my brothers and to wash my hands of responsibility. But in silence, I have always believed in it and counted on it and hoped that God equips brothers with power of faith, with power of the Spirit, with authority, that not one person does everything, but that the body, which consists of many members, can carry out the tasks that have been given to the church through the individual ministries. And I want to repeat it very clearly today. I still believe it. I believe that God does not have a one-man system that should fall on one everything, but the responsibility that was given to me was to pass on what God has entrusted to us. I was not told to be a teacher and an evangelist and a prophet and an apostle that I had to carry out everything, but that I had to proclaim his word. Out of this full, restored word proclamation must come a fully restored New Testament church, equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit, that the demons must tremble, for they are defeated. What about our faith? There are indeed among the so-called believers, and perhaps among the true believers, many more who believe in the power of Satan than in the omnipotence of God. How often do people talk about how powerful the devil is? And if you could turn that around just once and speak of God being all-powerful, and the Bible says that he defeated all enemies, disarmed them, and triumphed over them on the cross. If there are enemies, then there are defeated enemies that our Lord has already dealt with. The task we are called to undertake is an integral part of the Great Commission, which remains in its original from beginning to end. And brethren, let me say it clearly today, unless we rise to the challenge of the hour and realize that we have taken on tasks and responsibilities that God might make us available to carry out through us what He has promised in His Word. Nothing comes of itself at all. We must first recognize what God wants to do. Secondly, we must recognize that He wants to do it through us. There are enough who say, "Yes, I know that God will do great things." And that is always the old familiar dreams of the future. And with that, we can no longer be satisfied and be content. Jesus Christ is still the same today. We have been shown in this generation that all promises are yes and amen. What about my faith and yours? What about the works that must follow this faith? Our Lord said, "Those who believe in me, these signs shall follow them." It's not written in the singular, but in the plural, addressed to the believers. To those who believe in me, these signs and wonders will follow. And then the whole register is listed. Did the Lord God speak the truth? Beloved, we do not need to run after these things. If we wanted to run after signs and wonders, then they could not follow us. We follow the Lord, and we are followed by what He has promised us. Already through the prophet Isaiah, He said, "The Lord will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." What was it? He goes before us, and what He does, that accompanies us and that follows us. Let us learn from this afternoon's lesson that the Lord God now wants to have in the end a lovely church that is one heart and one soul. A church that He has called out, purified and sanctified. A church that is His property and at His disposal, equipped with everything He has promised. I had written a circular letter, whether in German or English, I don't know exactly now, but that Christ can only come back when the restitution has happened or been completed and everything has been put in its proper place. What is stopping us? We have heard the pure and precious Word of God for so many years. How far has God been able to go with us? Where are we spiritually? What progress is there? Beloved, the Lord wants to take not just one, but several steps forward with us these days. We are to realize anew that it is not only a matter of revelation and teaching, but that the church that has been instructed and has received the revelation of Jesus Christ could itself become a place of the revelation of the power of the living God here on this earth, so that it no longer makes a fool of itself, but God can glorify Himself through people who believe and trust in Him. If we believe, as the scriptures have said, then rivers of living water will flow. And the Lord says in John 7, probably verse 36 to 38, there He spoke of the Spirit whom those should receive who would believe in Me, that is, in Him. And the Spirit of God is then the power of God that can become effective through us who we believe. After all, it needs power, namely the power of God. And we are so grateful that we don't need to bring that power with us, but that God has provided it for us. Let us at least have learned from this afternoon's lesson that we as brothers and sisters do not condemn each other, hardly judge each other, but ask God to clear up all inconsistencies and make a glorious rhyme out of everything. After all, He can make the impossible smooth. Prepare ye the way for the Lord. Clear away every stumbling block, that the glory of the Lord may be revealed. How many have a real desire for the glory of God to be revealed? Really all? Yes, then I still wonder what we are waiting for. Faith will see the arm of God stretched out. Faith will see the arm of God in motion. And we will speak it out by faith. The right hand of the Lord is exalted, and the right hand of the Lord upholds the victory. And all the power of the enemy must give way, for Satan has lost his right to the people of God. Once and for all. And maybe that's how it can happen. God knows it. We are sometimes afraid to say something or even to ask, brothers, pray for me. We can also do it in such a way that we get the faith laid in the heart under the preaching of the word. And then, if someone notices that the enemy wants to assert his right here or there, and faith is in you, and the Spirit of God comes upon you, just say, Satan, you have lost your right over me. You are not tormenting me anymore. I'm free. I am free. When we confess with our mouths what we believe from our hearts, then all is done. Therein lies the secret. We can believe in our hearts for 100 years, and if we don't speak it out as a testimony with our lips, nothing happens at all. Nothing at all. It has to come through our lips as a testimony, because before that It is only in the heart and not yet a revealed reality. The moment we speak out in faith what God has made certain in our hearts, then Satan's hold is over. He must give way, and he has long since lost his right. One more paragraph, and with this I will come to a close for this afternoon. He speaks of a case here. Preachers stood on the platform. The gospel is preached. Devils give way. You can give the altar call, and people come in their condition and say, I want to be saved. He didn't save one person. He cast the devil out of him. And the person realized he was saved. He accepted his salvation. It is indeed the devil who holds us back, that we have not yet received the blessings made available to us. Soon, when we sing the choruses, Glorious Calvary, or Jesus is Victor, and whatever it may be, let us relate it to ourselves so very personally from now on, and sing in faith, expecting that all this can become divine reality in our lives. We have been privileged to witness the greatest ministry of all time, and all who have not yet seen this film of Brother Branham should still see it to know in what a wonderful way God has blessed and used him, but not so that we may marvel at the man of God, but so that we may understand that the Lord sent a message which we believe, so that we may then also place ourselves in the presence of God and also make of us such people who walk in his ways and in his will, who are at his disposal and may become and be something to the praise of his glorious grace. I long for this. Do you all too? Then God will give it by grace. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Amen. Let us rise and pray. Heavenly Father, my heart is moved, and I thank you that you speak to us in manifold ways. You want to illuminate your path for us from all sides and point out the possible obstacles and difficulties. Lord, we need you more than ever. We know that the last stretch of the way lies before us, and that you want to reveal yourself once more in your power and glory. Faithful Lord, let me know my condition. Lord, place me in your light. Do it with us all. Faithful Savior, May your Spirit take hold of us. Yes, may we be placed under the leading of your Holy Spirit. For thus it is written, all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the children of God. Lord, then we shall be led in peace and in blessing. In all our ways will be peace and blessing. Beloved Lord, together we ask you, let us recognize where any spirits want to assert their right. Lord, we place ourselves under your blood, under your word, under your Spirit, and believe in the redemption of our souls, in the deliverance of our spirit, in the healing of our body. Satan, depart from the people of God. For we are free in the name of Jesus Christ through the finished work of redemption on Calvary. Faithful Savior, that it may dawn upon us in these days that it is all accomplished, already done, and ready for us. Lord, it is our deepest desire that basically everything that hinders and obstructs be removed so that you can have your own way among us, in us, and through us. Faithful Lord, you have given your servant and prophet a mighty message, and you have also confirmed it mightily. Lord, now we have received this mighty message from God. Do we not have a right to expect you to confirm it just as mightily? It is your word, Lord God Almighty. We pray you together, and we believe that you have already done it, and it will shortly be revealed that we are not fools, but have believed, as the Scripture has said. And so may rivers of living water flow. Lord, guide our conversations. Be with us. Keep our hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. I am free, I am free. Hallelujah. Jesus died for me. I am free.